Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Rad Reality Show. It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
It's live, the Rad Reality Show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rad Reality Show on this cold December 22nd, 2011. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your host tonight, along with Paul from Minnesota. We've got a wonderful show planned for you tonight with the return of Coach Wade on the Rad Reality Show. I'm really excited to bring this to you. Aren't you, Paul?
I very much am, and we listen to the show. We replayed his show when he came on with Ron on our last week's show, and just brought back so many good memories. And Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Without further ado, I don't want to keep him waiting. Let's bring up Coach Wade.
Jeremy,
Coach,
Paul,
thank you so much for joining us. You are so wonderful. I'm so glad to have you with us. Welcome to our show.
Oh, it's good to be back. I remember fondly the last time I was on this show, and I was just really excited to come back and talk to you guys.
We are so glad to have you back. It is wonderful to hear your voice, and we can't wait to hear your wonderful stories and hear about the latest adventure in your life.
Yeah, I've got a bunch.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
We have some surprises for you, some clips from the past that I think you'll enjoy listening to as well, and I'm looking forward to a great show, and glad that you're able to join us again.
So how was it making it to the final three? Oh, Coach just dropped off the switchboard.
Well, now we know. We know his area code. When I went into the screening room, he broke up a couple of times on me.
There
he is.
Coach, welcome back.
Hey, if I get to, I'm up in the hills of Brea right now. I just helped my parents move in. They moved from Tennessee to Southern California. I'm in Brea and kind of up in the hills, and the reception is kind of hit or miss, and I don't have a landline because they just moved in. So if it hangs up, I'll call you guys right back. I apologize about that.
That's okay, sweetie. I understand.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
So tell us about making it to the final three.
Man, you know, if you would have told me, I was nervous going down. Like, before I even caught the plane flight, I was so nervous. And then in the airport, I saw Ozzy, and I was like, this is not going to go good for Coach. You know, I thought I was going to play against Phillip. So at least with Phillip, I'd have kind of a fighting chance. People would think, you know, well, Coach is a bit of a character, but, you know, Phillip is even more so. So we'd rather have Coach on our tribe than Phillip. When the two of us are standing there across from the tribes, I know every single person out there is like, please, let's have Ozzy on our tribe. So I was nervous going down there. And if you would have told me at the beginning of the game, Coach, you got to give away all your winnings. You're not going to make a dime for the show. In fact, you need to pay us $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. We will make sure, we will guarantee that you're going to make it to the finals and you'll come in second. I would have taken that bet immediately because I really didn't think I was going to make it to the end. And so, you know, being out there and just being a part of the game, I just felt like every day was a gift, you know. And you, in the past, you've seen, you know, the serious coach and, you know, the warrior coach. And I just wanted it this time to just be, like, totally myself, like the guy that you have on the phone, the person that I am in most of my interviews, just the person I am in everyday life, you know. It seems like the more success you have, it either goes to your head or it grounds you more. And being a big fish in a big pond, like Survivor and some of the other things that I've done, it just makes me feel like I've got a lot less to prove. And so I just came in, you know, not taking myself too seriously. If there was one word I could say to describe myself about this time around, it would be joyous, because I really took such a great satisfaction and just a happy, you know, kind of approach to the game, and I think that's shown on camera.
Well, I think you did a really good job, because so many people were rooting for you. So many people loved you on the season. And not to say that didn't, you know, people didn't love you in, you know, your past seasons, but you really had a lot of people turn the corner for you this year, and people that may not have liked you in past seasons did like you this year. And you really had a new audience this year.
I agree to that 100%. You know, I mean, it was really, you know, I connected to the audience. I said it at the finale show, but I connected to the audience like I have never done before. And there were so many people that messaged me. You know, the old messages used to be, you know, thank you for sticking up for honor and integrity. Thank you for being a man out there. And, you know, my parents, you know, talk about it. We talk about it. My kids talk about it. You're a role model in a deceitful game. And so that's usually been the path. Now, I got those this time. But in addition to that, I got people that said, Coach, hated you the first time, felt sorry for you the second time. And really, I can't believe I'm saying this, grew to love you the third time. So I think even, you know, even the most hardcore coach dissenters were turned around at parts in the game. Hey, not everybody's going to love me, and that's cool. There are still going to be people out there that try to take pot shots at me, and, you know, I got a couple of Facebook messages today of people that were like, you know, Coach, you're a scumbag, and I write it back. I write back everybody that messages me, and I just say, look, you know what, I love you too. Reality TV is not real life, and, you know, I did the best that I could, and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think that I showed everybody. I think what was missing in my game before is that I had never played the game. And this time I said in the very beginning, if you go back and look at my pregame interviews, I'm like, I'm going to be here to play the game. I'm here to play a balanced game, Coach 3.0. I'm going to be the Zen Slayer. you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think I really set out and proved that. And in that, I'm the most blessed, because if you look at people that have played the game, right, you look at, you know, Parvati, her game has kind of remained the same each time. And you look at Boston Rob, he's kind of played the same every time. He needs to be surrounded with the right set of people in order to go far in the game. If he's not, he's going to wear against him, you know, against the other people, he's going to wear against them, and then he's going to get voted out early, like you saw. I mean, twice in four times he didn't make the merge. Two other times he was playing with the right set of people, and he mastered the situation and went all the way to the end. But with my journey, it's like
at least
three,
the woman that he had by his side.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But for me, you know, it's like three different times, three completely different approaches, successful each time. You know, the first time it's like I went out there and I'm like, I want to change the game to the audience is what I said. And in my mind I said, and I also want to get the most character out of coach that I can. I'm going to be epic, even if people hate me. And I did that. And the second time I went back and I just said, man, this took a toll on me. I just want to show people that I'm a regular, sensitive human being. I feel like I did that. I came back this time and I said, coach is going to play. And I, you know, in a lot of people's minds, I should have won. I could have won. It was just so close at the end.
It was so close. I thought, in my heart, I thought you had it. And I knew it was going to be somewhat close. I knew that she would get some votes, but I thought you would pull it out.
Yeah, I thought I was going to win. Going into tribal, I thought I'm going to win in a landslide. You know, Sophie checked out for about 15 games in the middle of the game, and you don't see that, but she literally went down the beach, sat by herself for hours and hours and hours. She didn't collect any firewood. She didn't collect any water. She did nothing. And it really pissed everybody off. And so going into that final tribal, I knew people had their impression of Albert. I knew that Sophie was really, with the exception of winning a couple of immunities, she was really kind of like, people didn't really know that much about her. And me going into the final, I just thought, look, I want to be humble. I don't want to throw it in their face. And I know now that's what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to say, look, guys, you're chumps. I played the game. I outplayed you. I did it for $1 million. And that would have assuaged their guilt at not sitting in the final three. You know, I don't care about $1 million. I was going to donate it to my symphony anyway that I conduct, the Susanville Symphony. I don't care about the money, but everybody wants for me to be the same. You know, when you're different, people want to criticize you, because if you're different, you know, they're either threatened by you and they need to take pot shots at you, or they don't conform because they're not comfortable around you. Who's going to do neither? I've not done it my whole life, and there's no way that I'm going to sit up there in front of everybody. I knew that last jury, I knew that they wanted me to say, guys, I'm evil, I'm corrupt, I'm just like everybody else, I played this game, it broke me, I lied to all of you, da-da-da-da-da. And what I wanted to do at the final tribal is I wanted to say, look, guys, I didn't lie. I lied to Rick, Ozzy, you lied to me over again. I entered into contacts with people, and they broke their word. And when they broke their word, like Brandon did, Ozzy broke his word.
You're breaking up a little there, Coach.
What's that?
You're breaking up just a little
bit. I got to point it like 270 degrees exactly at the right angle, so I'm pointing it there now. Sorry, I was getting
excited. Okay, there you go.
Anyway, are you wearing
so
a tinsel hat?
I mean, I'm like,
will help.
So, I'm like, they want me to say that I'm evil and that I did it for $1 million. And I wasn't going to do that. You know, there were very few times where I lied in the game. Yeah, there were times when I was dishonest. I owned up to that, okay? But what I wanted to do at the final tribal is I wanted to say, tell me when you think I lied, and I'm going to tell you what happened. And they didn't want to do that. They said, no, we want you to answer questions without using honor and integrity. And they really made a mockery of the last tribal. And what kind of saddens me the most, and I'm elated with this journey. I'm so happy. I'm never going back again. I feel very confident that my trilogy has ended and that I did the best that I could. But, you know, it was like the final jury was a farce. What you didn't see, Ozzy stood up. I called him a whining little bitch in some of the exit
interviews. Oh, we didn't get to see that.
And I feel bad about that, because Coach never wants to be uncoached, you know, and I feel bad about that. But I was very upset with him because, If you would have seen the entire Last Tribal, you would have understood why I said that. You know, Ozzy sits up there and he says, "Coach, explain yourself." So I opened my mouth and I said, "Look, I made mistakes. I tried to play with honor and integrity. I wasn't always perfect." And he throws his head back and he starts acting almost like he acted at the merge when he was like saying, "Oh, you know, they voted me off and it was a bad acting job." So he throws his head back and he was like, "Oh, coach. Oh, so this is how it's going to go. So this is what you're going to do." Da-da-da-da-da. And he just like sits there and just completely just, you know, ruins the rest of Tribal. And at that moment, I knew that people that would have voted for me without Ozzy or Brandon being voted off, the Dons, the Whitneys, the Keiths, the Jims, those kind of people, that I had already lost their vote. And so it was pretty tough going in, seeing that Ozzy was going to make a mockery of the Tribal, knowing that Keith was asking me the question, "Hey, coach, the hidden immunity idol." Keith's question was this: "Coach, the hidden immunity idol, was it for you or was it for the Tribe?" I said it was for the Tribe. He asked Sophie. Sophie said, "Yes, it was for the Tribe." He asked Albert. "Albert, was it for the Tribe?" Albert said, "Yes, it was for the Tribe." Guess who Keith votes for? Sophie. And I knew it when he looked at me. I knew it that even though he had a satisfactory answer, he was going to go with the other lemmings in Tribal Council, and he was going to write down Sophie's name. "Ozzy, Sophie, you're a pretentious bitch. You don't have any reason to deserve the money. Oh, but by the way, I'm going to write your name down." You know, it's funny to me that the people that I screwed over the most, Edna, Rick, and Cochran, still voted for me because they knew that even though I had voted them off, I was the most real deal out there that's played Survivor in recent seasons.
Right. What did you think about some of their questions? And I, you know, there was a lot of things they didn't do this season that they have done in past Survivors. First, they didn't have you go and say farewell to the previous Survivors. You know how they always have you go on that journey and say farewell to the past Survivors who have fallen before you?
The memory walk?
Yep.
Right, that memory walk. They didn't do that this year. They also, in the final, didn't allow you to have a final speech after the questions. You didn't get to have a final comment, which I was looking forward to.
Right. You know, another thing that you didn't see that really pissed me off is that I had this elaborate, I was going to talk about everybody, you know, and I was going to say, "Jim, you're a gamer. This is why you should vote for me. Ozzy, this is why." And I was going to go down the list for everybody. And I had this perfect thing planned out. So we sit down, and look, I love Jeff Probst, okay? I've got nothing but respect for him, but he's over Survivor. Look at the live show. Look at his energy level. He's done with it. He wants to do other things. He tried to get a show picked up 3 years ago. Now he has a talk show. He's just not into it. And who can blame him? He's been doing it for 23 seasons. So, you know, But he sat down at Tribal. I've been in Tribal before, and he's never said this. And he sat down, and he looked at us, and he said, "You're each going to make an opening statement. And I want it to be quick, coach." And he loved me, and I know he wanted me to win. From conversations that I've had with other people that talked to him, he wanted me to win. And he didn't understand how this was going to trip up my game. But he was tired. He didn't want to be there. And he, like, looks at me, and he says, "Everybody needs to keep it under a minute." Now, how in the hell are you going to do a final Tribal speech where you're pleading for $1 million and get it done with under a minute? So I said what I said. It was good, but it was like half of what I wanted to say.
That's really not fair. I mean, how do you, I agree with you. How do you tell somebody who's walking in and preparing themselves to give a speech to ask to be voted for winning Survivor, you know, the best game on earth, and probably already has a somewhat lengthy speech in their heads prepared, and then Jeff comes and says, "You got to keep it under a minute." That throws you completely off. I just don't understand why he would. That's. I don't know. I can understand where you would be totally thrown by that.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I will just say this. You know, I mean, the whole thing threw me. These are the excuses. And, you know, now I just got to say, look, you know what? I'll own what I did. I tried to play a good game. I made mistakes. But you know what? I'm at peace with everything. I would rather not win $1 million than win $1 million and, you know, be a complete jerk out there and lie to everybody along the way. And that's not what Sophie did. I'm not saying that. But I really do feel like this year people are going to say, well, this is a year that, you know, this was the season where Coach deserved to win. I mean, I overcame the most. I came in from the beginning and, you know, led the tribe, changed everybody's attitudes. I should have been voted off first. And again, though, you got to know from me, from my heart, it was a great ride. It was such a thrill to be out there, and I just had a great time. I mean, really, even though I didn't win, and I can make excuses, and we can talk about that, which is important, I just want you to know, and I want the audience to know, that I just had such an awesome time. I totally kicked ass. I totally played the game. I was Coach at times. I was a Dragon Slayer at times. I was a Zen Slayer at times. I was a Maestro at times, getting the orchestra to play together.
I'd love to know how you had the patience to put up with Brandon.
Oh, before you launch into that, that is so good, such a good question, Cherry. But I just wanted to say the editing, I could tell Coach that you did enjoy it. I could really see that this was a different experience this time.
Yeah, like I said, it was joyous. You know, my favorite moments of the show that made it to editing were, you know, sitting there on day one saying, these five are going to get to the end. Sitting there 30-something days later, those five getting to the end. You know, looking at Jeff and Jeff saying, you know, doing some Dragon Slayer moves. When I was, like, doing Dragon Slayer moves, but if you look at that clip when I won immunity, I was actually doing the moves, like, behind everybody's back when they weren't looking. And Jeff caught me in that moment of just, you know, true appreciation from me to him and him to me. I love those parts of the season. They were great. So, on to Brandon, you know, he's got a good heart, and I think if this was my first Survivor, I would have gotten rid of him at the merge, or I would have gotten rid of Edna, and I wouldn't have put up with people as much as I did, but really, just meeting people where they were at. I saw Brandon's struggles, I saw the journey that he was trying to make out there, and I walked beside him, and I think that it's easier to tolerate people when you're walking beside them and not trying to pull them in another direction, which is what I've done on my past Survivors, and maybe a little bit in life as well. You know, when you're able to meet somebody where they're at, you're able to say, you're able to identify, this is what is the most important thing to Brandon. You know, it's not playing the game, it's not being strategic, it's trying to redeem his family name. That's the most important thing to him. And seeing that he struggled with good and evil on a daily basis, I met him there in those trenches, and I was able to understand where he was coming from, and I was able to try to help him in some way that I could, and I think that I did. So the patience, yeah, it was there, but I think it was made easier just that I'm a seasoned warrior. I'm a seasoned coach. I'm a seasoned Survivor contestant, and it was easier for me to do that. Did he drive us crazy at times? Yes, but I think that the best thing...
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
No. Drove us crazy too, Coach.
Yeah, it did. But the thing is that was different about Brandon is that he meant well. He does have a good heart. And so even though he might be emotionally up and down, he's got a great heart, and therefore it was easier to play with him.
It sounds like he's had a very rough past, and he really does have great intentions and really wants to do well now and wants to change his life. He sounds like he's very troubled and struggles with it daily.
Right. Yep, he does, definitely.
Coach, could you share with us, I perceive Brandon as being a relatively new Christian that is so trying to do all the right things. He doesn't, I don't know if that's a correct perception on my part.
I think that he is, I don't know about being a new Christian, but he has definitely, like, turned over a new leaf, and he wants to walk in the path of lightness, for sure. He's young. He does not have the family support. I was blown away that his father did not come to the reunion show, and I asked Brandon, I said, why is your father not here? And he said, because he is totally upset and disappointed with me. And you could see it out there when his dad was trying to browbeat him to win $1 million. It was really interesting to see, because, you know, I have a great family. I have an incredible support system, and I know some people don't. And my credit to people that are able to, you know, have families and build a strong character and that are able to make it through life without that family core, because I seriously couldn't imagine not having that family support that I have. So I think that Brandon wants to do right. His inside, his upbringing, and his family erode at the very foundation that he's trying to build up.
Yeah, it's really sad that his dad was, I guess, the way he was with him. When he came for the visit and Brandon was saying, you know, I want to do this for honor, and his dad was just like, no, you have a job to do. You know, you bring home the money for the family.
Yep.
And then, his father went to you and started saying, you know, you have to watch out for him, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. It really sort of shocked me that his dad didn't put his arm around him and say, you know, congratulations, or, you know, I support you in that, you know, and yeah. I want you to do that, but you can play the game and do it with honor or something, you know, to give him some support. And
mm-hmm.
he did none of that. I mean, he just seemed upset with Brandon, and I don't know, the whole thing was really kind of bizarre. And
yeah.
I felt really bad for Brandon. And then to see him there with no family, well, the only family would be his uncle, and I don't think his uncle was there to support him at all, but tear him down even more.
Yep.
It was really hard to watch. I felt really bad for Brandon,
mm-hmm.
sitting there with no family at all there to support him like you did. And I hope that he has a good wife and is able to build his own family that, you know, and have friends around him that he can, you know, maintain the type of life that he wants to build, and with or without his family can walk the path that he wants to walk. And
yep.
it's really sad to see that his family is doing what they're doing, because he needs the support. He really does.
Yep, I agree with everything you just said there.
So what were some of the surprises that you saw when you watched the show? Who surprised you the most?
Well, the surprises that I saw and who surprised me the most, I guess what surprised me the most is that, you know, the venom that Christine and Stacy, the two voted off of our tribe first, and even a little bit Michaela, kind of the venom that they expressed towards me. Even at the show, even at the live finale, it was kind of funny, you know, because whatever happens in life, whatever happens in Survivor, you just got to let it go, you know, and you just can't be bitter about it, or else it'll eat you up. And I understand that that's kind of their, what they can cling on to, their safety blanket is their dislike of Coach. So that kind of surprised me when watching it. I was really surprised that one time, I caught a lot of flack when we prayed that one day, and Brandon, actually, what it made it look like is that I prayed for the idol, and I got a lot of flack on that. I got a lot of messages for that. And I actually, one of the reporters the other day, when we were doing the media tour, one of the reporters was like, so, Coach, tell me, why did you pray for the idol when it was in your pocket? And I kind of lost my temper on him, and I said, why don't you go back and watch the episode again, because obviously you don't have your facts straight, and you're obviously just eating what the edit is spoon-feeding you. But what happened was is that I prayed, we got around a circle, I prayed and I just said, you know, please give us a victory in today's challenge. And then Brandon, you hear Brandon saying, yes, and please help us find the idol. And then it shows Sophie, and Sophie's like, you know, I'm really not sure about Coach praying for the idol. I'm not sure if they fed her that. I'm not sure if she was just misremembering. But so that was a surprise. And it kind of, one of the few moments of the season where I really felt kind of, that old familiar dread of, hey, what are they going to do with me? The cool thing is, I'll just go on another note. The cool thing is that after the first three episodes, I was telling all my close friends, okay, tonight's episode, the fourth episode, I'm going to look like a complete jerk. And they're like, why? And I'm like, man, look, they've given me three great episodes. They can't keep this up. But then I had a good episode, the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. So it was kind of funny because I kept thinking that they were going to put me through the mud, and they never really did. Other surprises, I guess, just how quiet Rick was, because around camp he was kind of funny. I guess, you know, he just couldn't give them what they wanted on confessionals, same as Edna. I was really surprised at how subtle they were. And I really wasn't surprised about anything else. I think actually that this season, out of the 97 days that I played, these 39 days were so accurately portrayed. Nobody's character was pushed one direction or the other. Sophie was Sophie, and Albert was Albert, and Cochran was Cochran, and Coach was Coach. It was really cool to see, because I know in the past, they usually take, you know, you got to have a hero and a villain. So sometimes they'll make a hero look a little bit more like a hero, and sometimes they'll make a villain look a little bit more like a villain. That's their job. I understand it. It's totally copacetic. This season, there were heroes and villains and brilliant people and strategists and nerds and great challengers like Ozzy. And so really, it's pretty cool because this was a very accurate season.
Coach, I was watching that episode with you praying in the circle, and we did a show every Thursday night on Survivor, and I pointed it out. I said, Coach never did pray that. So, yeah, I don't know how Sophie came up with that that opinion, but it was evident to me at least. But we did have a question about something you brought up earlier. Was there more when Brandon's father was on the island? Was there more conversation?
We just lost Coach.
Oops. Oh well. Hey, Ken. By the way, I do see you're wanting to talk, and we certainly. Harry's back.
So, Paul, I'm glad you caught that. It's funny because. Out of all of the I was actually looking every week. I was seeing what people were writing about me because this time I didn't care. You know, I didn't care. I mean, it was really refreshing because in the past you're like, please, I hope people say good things about me or I hope they're not too hard on me. But the day after that episode, I noticed that like 100 people were like, Coach, what a hypocrite, Coach. And then there was like that one person that was like, wait a second, go back and watch it. And those were the voices crying out in the wilderness that were very few and far between. So I love the fact that you caught that and that you said it. It was really cool.
In fact, Coach, for a couple of the shows, I grabbed audio clips from the show, and that was the one audio clip that I grabbed. And I said, people, listen to this. Coach never said that he was praying to find the idol.
Now,
right?
We caught that... My husband and I also caught that, and there were so many people that I think did catch it, and for the ones that were giving flack about it, you know, it's like, don't you listen? You know, don't
right.
you pay attention?
Right. And I think it is partially the editors that immediately cut to Sophie saying, I'm not sure about Coach doing that prayer, because, you know, when you're praying, they didn't actually show his lips moving, they just showed the back of his head. So, you know, I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
We have a few callers. Would you like to take a call from one of our listeners?
Absolutely. Let's take a call.
Okay, let's do. Michael, you've been patiently waiting to talk to Coach. You're on the Red Reality Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I'm actually calling all the way up from Winnipeg. I talked with you a couple times on Facebook, Coach. I'm just wondering about your nighttime strategy, because a lot of that isn't featured on Survivor. If you can get into a little bit detail about, like, how nighttime strategy is done on the show, like, that way for us, you know, people that don't see it can get, like,
yeah.
a bit more understanding.
Yeah, no, when you talk about nighttime strategy, are you talking about, like, when we come back from tribal, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, not just come back from tribal, but stuff at night, because you don't see a lot of the cameras... airing stuff at night, right? Because
yeah.
it's really hard for them to pick up stuff. We only saw you doing that one campfire thing with the four other players. But I bet there's a lot more stuff going on at night.
Hey, Coach? Coach?
Oh, we lost him again. Hang with us,
right.
Michael. He'll call right
back.
Oh,
definitely.
No, that was a great question, Michael. So you, what, did you get in a chat on Facebook with him? That must have been fun.
Oh, yeah. Like, he really interacts with a lot of his fans. He does answer quite a bit back, and he actually has a Benjamin Coach Wade fan page, but we always call him Coach anyways on Facebook, right? And so he has his own page, too, on there, and apparently he'll start going on there more, even
Welcome
though
back,
he's...
Coach.
He's
Welcome back,
Hi,
Coach.
Guys. Okay, so sorry about that. Yeah, so that's a really good question. So on the one hand, like, there's not a lot of strategy that happens at night, and that's because we're tired, you know? It's like there's nothing to do all day. We're so...
Oh, no.
Turn, stuff like turn 270 that. There, Coach.
Okay.
We got you.
I'm facing that way. I'm sorry. Is it breaking up?
We got you now.
Okay. So anyway, so like at night when you're there, there's very little strategy because, like, especially when there's no moon, the first part of the season there was like moon, and then the moon was rising like during the day. So we had no moonlight for the last 20 days after the merge, and so you really can't see anything. And so people don't really walk around.
Is that why they don't do that much filming at night, like the editing at night, because of the lighting situations too?
Yeah, because really people are just going to bed. I mean, there's probably a lot of, you know, pillow talk that goes on, but really you just go in bed and you just try to sleep. You're so tired because you really can't get a full night's sleep ever out there. And so really it's like this feeling of just being totally tired. But I will say, you know, like after tribal, it's really important what happens. And like that one time, you know, it's so funny how people forget, you know, that one time when Ozzy came back from tribal and he was just totally blowing up at everybody. I got to tell you that before Ozzy went to Redemption Island the second time, everybody wanted him out of the game, including his own tribe. You know, it's how quickly you forget when he's on Redemption and he doesn't have to strategize and he's giving everybody a fish and papaya and he's acting very gracious before he votes you out. But, man, I got to tell you, Don hated him. Whitney, Keith hated him. You know, they told us after we voted him out, they were like, look, we really wanted to work with you guys. We were not going to go with Ozzy to the end. So they hated him. They thought he was arrogant. They thought he was pompous. You know, he was, as they said, you know, he was really whiny and just always, you know, fishing and saying, I'm going to take the biggest fish, and you guys can divide up the scraps with the smaller fish. And that kind of stuff doesn't make me mad.
Wow.
That's the reason why I'm so mad at him. I mean, really, like, these people really loathe Ozzy. And it was interesting to see people get voted off to Redemption and then change and then, like, fall in love with him because, of course, and that's, like, the big flaw with Redemption. You don't have to get your hands dirty. You can sit there on Redemption and not do anything except for feed the people that come in. It's your home. You make them feel welcome. And everything that they're angered with about you kind of dissolves, you know. So,
right.
But I will say, like, the strategy for me to keep that tribe together, for me to keep those five together was a full-time job.
And you had to make sure that everybody was sleeping in the right area of the camp, too, at night.
Yeah.
You're breaking up for us there, Coach.
Okay, and I won't hog the questions there, too, so you guys can field off other questions, too.
Calling in, Michael. And,
Michael, thank you so much.
Always love hearing from Canada, especially Manitoba. My maternal grandmother immigrated from Sweden to Manitoba, so I do have
whereabouts.
All right, take care, kids.
Okay.
Thanks for calling,
Thank
Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey,
thanks,
no
Michael.
Worries, guys, and enjoy the show. Thanks a lot, eh?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Coach is back.
Okay.
Yep, I'm back.
We have another call. Let's take Kid Checky and see what he has to say.
Hey, Coach.
Kid Checky, you are live on the Rad Reality Show with Coach.
Awesome. Hey, Coach. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Kid.
Hey, what's going on?
Sounds like a Southern accent there.
No, it's just my regular accent. But, I'm a big Survivor fan, and Coach, I know you are too. I got a question. You know, we're expecting another Survivor All-Stars, you know, a few more seasons, you know, to come. which five players do you think should be on a future All-Stars?
Of all time or of recent seasons?
Recent.
Of recent seasons. Which five players do I think should be on from recent seasons? Okay. Because, you know, you kind of got to do it All-Stars, like, after Heroes and Villains, because that was such a defining moment, right? So
yeah.
I would say that you would have to have, from this season, you'd have to have Cochran, without question. You have Cochran and maybe, I know it sounds crazy. If you had to have a girl from this season, I'd pick maybe Edna. I know that sounds crazy, but she was actually, she's actually a good contestant. I would say those two. I would say from the last season, probably nobody. I think you'd have to bring back. He was a character. I think you'd have to bring Marty back. He was from the first one, probably the only good redemption. I mean, the only good character from that first one. So that would probably be my five right there.
Yeah,
that's
Ron.
Awesome.
Ron really loved Marty during that season. I just remembered that when you mentioned his name. Good choices.
Yeah. It's too bad that Naoko quit because she was like a shoe-in. She would have totally been back. It was really...
totally.
She quit.
She just called in to our show last week. She is the sweetest. She was out at the finale last week, and she is a sweetheart. I really hated that she quit as well. She is a good player, and I really hated to see her quit.
Yeah, I did too, because, I mean, she's sweet. You know, she put on that real strong front when you're out there, which I can totally understand, and I loved it. I mean, really, I really loved her. I actually would just wait for her to say something because whatever came out of her mouth was gold. And, you know, with Survivor, when you think about the top 20 characters of all times, a lot of guys come to your mind, but not a lot of girls come to your mind. And she would be one that would be like in the top five females of all times if she had.
Right. Coach, it's funny that you were talking about Ozzy and him sort of having the arrogant attitude. We had Cowboy from Survivor come on, and he was talking about going out to visit in L.A., and Ozzy had told him, you know, hey, Cowboy, if you're ever out in L.A., look me up, and I'll come, you know, we'll hook up. And so when Cowboy was out there, he called Ozzy, and Ozzy had told him, you know, I'll come and pick you up in the car I won, you know, from Survivor. So Ozzy called him, and I'm sorry, Cowboy called Ozzy and said, hey, you know, I'm here at whatever place he was at. He said, you know, can we get together? And Ozzy said, oh, man, you know, you're so far away. You're probably at least like 30, 45 minutes away and with traffic and everything. Why don't you, like, find a bicycle or something and call me when you get closer to my house? And Cowboy said, he said, yeah, dude, right, you know, and hung up the phone, and that's the last time he'd ever talked to him. And they were on the same season together, too. So he was a little offended that, you know.
That doesn't surprise me at all. That's funny.
So apparently, yeah.
That's one of the things that maybe is not really pronounced in my game, because I get it. And I'm not trying to, like, self, you know, inflate, but I mean, really, when you look at characters, and I was saying this on an interview the other day, when you look at people, they cast them as like the nerd, but they're not really that athletic, but they get them for a soundbite, or you get the pretty young girl, or you get the older person, or you get the person that's like going to be way type A and not going to get along with anybody. You've got the handsome jock, but you know, the handsome jock, and I'm not saying that I'm handsome or that I'm a jock, but they're not spouting philosophy. They're not quoting Nietzsche, Voltaire, Shakespeare, and Martin Luther King in the same episode like me. And I know that there's a lot of different angles of my game, and but the one angle I think that doesn't come out as much, because there's all this other stuff to promote, is the fact that I really went out there this last time and just gave. I just gave and gave and gave. And that's something that people like Ozzy, who's very selfish, and he doesn't give to anybody. He just takes. And you look at Sophie, you know, she was a very taking player. And it's like one of those aspects, just because that made me think about it. You know, I mean, Randy Bailey, classic example. Randy, you know, he asked me, hey, I want to come out there and live with you. I don't have any place else to live. And this was a couple of years ago. All my friends said, dude, don't do it, because he's been up there before. They were like, don't do it. And I was like, how can I not do it? First of all, Randy's a good friend of mine. And what kind of friend would I be if I bailed at him at his lowest moment in life? And my friends were just like, it's going to end badly. You guys won't get along. It's too strong of a personality. And I just said, I'm going to do it because this is the kind of person that I am. So I did. He ended up living with me for like 6 months, and Ozzy can't even go and pick up a guy from the airport that comes in to see him. It's pretty telltale of how a lot of survivors are, actually.
So did things work out really well for you and Randy?
It ended badly, like my friend said, but still, I mean, what would I do? I mean, I can't sit there and deny somebody housing if they're, you know.
Oh,
anyway,
sorry to hear that.
It didn't end good. I've actually reached out to him several times, and much like the farewell hugs that I try to get on Survivor that end badly, sometimes I just can't get any love. But it's okay. I'm going to keep trying because I'm going to be to myself. I'll keep reaching out, you know, and extending to different people and whatnot.
Well, we've got another call I'm going to bring up and see what question they have for you.
And I just want to, as you're picking him up, you may remember he did join in on the show that you came on with Ron. In fact, it very well could have been that he booked you. Is that true, Ben?
Ben, you're on the Rad Reality Show with Coach.
Oh, sorry. Hi, John. Speakerphone. Yes, hello. Hello, everybody. Yes, Paul, that is correct. I was the one that booked Coach. Coach, this is Benjamin Holder. I'm the one answering.
Yeah, what's up, Ben? How you doing?
Yeah, you can call me Benjamin. It's fine. I'm actually out at a Christmas party, but I had a text from a friend saying, hey, where are you? You got coaches in your show there. I'm like, oh, no, I just had a really crazy week. But I wanted to call in and say hi to everybody and wish everyone a Merry Christmas. I was listening. I came up with a couple of questions. I called in. I got disconnected a couple of times, like in a bad area. But when I called in, you were talking about the Dragon Slayer move that they caught you doing. And I just had to say I loved the helo shot, the shot from the helicopter. Did you notice that it caught you doing that from the chopper?
I did not notice that. No, I didn't notice that at all. You know, you kind of like block that kind of stuff out. And so I kind of did it behind everybody's back. And I actually did it. Listen, I actually did it for the – there were a couple of people that were down there, and I knew that they were down there, like behind the scenes. And so I kind of, and it was at that point that I knew that I was going to win the immunity necklace. And so I kind of did this Dragon Slayer move for all the cameramen and behind the scenes people. And so I did that. And then I didn't know that it was caught by the helicopter. And when Jeff did that, it was just like a little shared moment between the two of us. I never thought in a million years that would actually make the edit. And when it did, I was just so thrilled. So thrilled. You know, another moment like that was when we were eating the donuts. And the sugared stuff, and I'm like cramming my face with donuts, and Jeff looks over at me and he says, Coach, so are you still glad that you didn't, you know, or are you still glad that you sat out of today's challenge? And I'm stuffing myself with powdered donuts, and I look at him trying to be really serious, and then I just have this laugh, and he's like, yeah, I thought so. Again, it was a great moment of respect between the two of us, and actually a moment where, you know, I really enjoyed and he really enjoyed, and those moments in the game are few and far between.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I actually ended up meeting with some of your tribe, I should say the cast, down at an event in Virginia back in October. Ozzy was there, and one of your favorite people I had a wonderful time with at the end of the night was Christine. Yeah, I ended up partying with her until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
I know, it was kind of crazy, but, you know, we talked a lot of stuff, and it was interesting. She's a very interesting person, and we will be having her on an upcoming show, and be funny maybe if you could dial in and ask a question.
That would be funny.
That would be great.
Come in, you know, punker or something like that. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, I saw that. You got to go back and look at that episode because they got it from the chopper. The chopper was on you when you made the move, and they've got it from the chopper. It flashes across the screen at maybe a second and a half of footage, but it's there from the chopper, and I just remembered that. When you spoke of the move, I'm like, oh, yeah, I wonder if he noticed that he got it from the chopper. It's just a great
coach dropped off again.
Oh, geez. Well, did anybody else see that? Did anybody in the chat room see that? You know, and hello, chatters. I wish I could be there with you guys tonight, but I tried to connect from my smartphone, and it's not doing it too easily, so I guess my phone's
These phones are giving us a time tonight.
They're what?
I said these phones are giving us a rough time tonight.
Oh, are they? Yeah, it's weird because mine popped off twice, although where I'm at is an area that is notoriously bad for cell phone signal, and I'm inside to boot, so, you know.
He'll call right back.
Well, I didn't get a chance to say back to you Merry Christmas to you as well, Ben.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Ben.
Thank you, Jerry.
And I do anticipate Coach will come back because he's bounced back quickly other times. This is a little longer, though, isn't it, Jerry?
Yeah, he might be trying to find another location.
I hope I didn't ruin it by talking about Christine.
No.
Did he say anything about Christine? Because I may have missed it. I mean, because I think I called in about 20 after. I think I got my text right about quarter after.
That I heard.
Okay. I think it'd be great if he called in and punked Christine when we get her on. We'll see. I don't know. I'll have to ask both of them. See what
Hopefully he does come back soon because I do have several of you in the chat room that have passed along questions that haven't got a chance to ask him yet.
I bet.
In the chat room, Ben, Dina just said, Merry ho, 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 Ben.
Hello, Dina, and everybody else. Is Mickey out there, too?
No. She is not. I think she has a very, very bad toothache. She's been dealing with it.
Oh, poor thing.
She's really been dealing with it bad.
She's got to take care of that. That's bad, too. That stuff can kill you, so it's nothing to mess with, you know?
Oh, I know. I talked to her on the phone the other night, and she's really having a rough time with it.
Well, I hope she gets through that soon. Have I missed anything? I've been so busy for the past, you know, couple of weeks here, and I think it's been, God, maybe 2 weeks since I've been in. I don't know. I know it wasn't at Monday. Did you do a show Sunday? Oh, you didn't do a show Sunday. It was Survivor.
Right, did not do a show Sunday.
Yeah, how could you? It'd be like, you know, long pauses with no talking at all. And then, you know, maybe a gasp or an oh, my God, or no, Coach, no. Oh, goodness.
Well, I hope he calls back.
I know. I just remembered another question I wanted to ask him, too. Has he discussed it with you? I mean, I doubt he would have started the show with it, but has he said when did he learn that he would be going back on Survivor yet? I wonder if it's before we had him on in February or not, or after.
I don't know.
Be a good question. I don't think it falls within the realms of protected production material, so.
Probably not.
I'm just wondering if he knew when he was on in February or was it, you know, shortly thereafter. Because they must give you a pretty good warning. I can't see. Well, then again, I suppose a survivor knocked on my door tomorrow morning and said, you want to go? I'd be pretty stupid to say no. So, yeah, I guess that's a dumb question. But
hey, Ben, I haven't worked as much on doing a theme music for you, but I quickly today did this little 20-second one while we got a little time.
going to the club tonight or something?
Yep. The boom boom room.
The what?
The boom boom room.
The boom boom room.
Yep.
Awesome, Paul. Awesome. And I was about to say, wait a minute, I got theme music. It's that boom song that Ron always used to play, you know?
I know, and that's why I included that.
That's perfect.
I so wanted to have Kristen in there because I remember when I got to get that.
you know, I was so happy. I was talking the town for like a week after, you know. All my friends like, was she really talking about the boom boom? I was like, hell yeah. What else she could be talking about, you know? That's awesome. I actually haven't heard that clip since, good God, probably close to, I would say a year. I posted it on Facebook at one point. Maybe it was a year ago, because that was season 12, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. That was 12. I should know that. No kidding. Wow. That is cool.
Here's another short clip. Little fillers here, if you will, guys, that on the show that Coach did, and this was back on February 16th of 2011, and our big brother Kevin Campbell had called in because he was such a huge fan of Coach, and this was Kevin saying goodbye, and it really tickled Ron and made him real happy to hear. He brought a couple of people together. And before I play it, Coach was saying, oh, Kevin, actually, Randy had gotten me, you know, Coach just finished talking about Randy. And he said, Randy was the one that got me to watch Big Brother, and Big Brother 11 was the first season that I watched. So at any rate, I'm going to play this short clip for y'all.
Well, I'm going to watch the episode right now, Coach, so I'm super excited. Thank you so much for talking to you.
I will be watching it tonight and thinking about you. I just want you to know that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, everybody. Bye.
There you go, Kevin.
Bye.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm just having a great. This is so great.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, that was. That show was such a blessing.
Oh, I know. Ron. I know. That was the night I was in driving around in Boston meeting Phil from The Amazing Race, the host of The Amazing Race, with Louie. Louie and I went down and met Phil from The Amazing Race that night. Remember? Because I got lost in Boston during the beginning
right,
of the show.
Right, I remember you saying, I'm lost in Boston. Ask BB Boston how to get out of Boston.
That's right. I remember that now. Yep. Very good, very good. Oh, my God. But, yeah, I remember that. Geez, you know, I think, I'm not positive, but I think I got Kevin for that show for some reason, too. But I don't know why. Why would I have gotten Kevin for that show?
I don't know. We talked to Kevin in that show about his new job that he had just gotten with Superpass doing Tartar.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Okay.
So maybe Ron had said, you know, come on, we'll, you know, promo that that for you. But
I seem to remember them getting in touch with him. I was telling him the coach was going to be on. He was so excited. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know you watched Survivor. He's like, what, are you kidding me? So, no, doesn't watch Survivor nowadays, you know. Even my friends
don't know if
reality.
Coach is going to be calling back in. I have so many more questions to ask him.
That's okay. We'll have to do another Coach show, and this time I'll be home and at my computer and be able to say hi to all the chatters for real, you know? Well, I mean, literally, is that the word? Just typing words. So.
In the chat room, in other words.
Yes, in the chat room. So, I have to pipe in with this. I finally got my copy of The Last Supper, starring John Penner, or I should just say Penner, Cameron Diaz, Bill Paxton, Charles Durning, Mark Harmon, Annabelle Gish, Ron Eldard, who else was in that? Oh, I wish I could remember them all. Just a ton of people, a ton of stars in that movie. And A great movie. Great. I'm going to watch it again with some friends over the weekend probably. But really cool. So I'm psyched about that. When he comes on the show, I'll I guess I'll have to ship you a copy so you can make a bunch of clips out of it. Or
well,
maybe I'll make clips.
We were thinking of playing this to when Coach was on, but I'm you know going to ask Cherry, do you want to wait to play on the dance floor?
I was thinking about playing it, but I was hoping he was going to be on the line when we played it.
So I always play it twice. I mean, chatters won't mind. Chatters love your clips, Paul. Everybody loves your clips. Paul is now the clip master. I thought I was okay, but I can't hold a candle to this guy.
No, Paul's the clip master. He's got that under control.
Yep.
He's got that down to science, and nobody's going to catch him.
No, hell no. I mean, last few times that I've been on, I've heard you playing different themes for people, and I'm like, that's good. That's awesome, you know? I mean, you've got some really good theme music there for people, so keep it up. Keep up the good work, Paul. Keep it up.
Well, I guess we can go ahead. And if he comes back, we'll play it twice. So this is on the dance floor. Go ahead, Paul.
I don't know if everybody is aware of it, if they never went to the Ponderosa clips. Uh-oh. Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh. I thought he was just rambling there for a second. What were you saying?
This, when Coach was on Heroes versus Villains, he, Courtney, and JT were all there at Ponderosa, and they got into writing a song and even went to the extent where they did a music video of the song. And when Coach was on Ron's show in February, one of our chatters asked about it, and he seemed to be very proud of the work that they did. So that's the setup.
Right. I remember that. Is it playing?
Let me play it.
Thank you.
So that was Coach Wade, JT, and Courtney.
Otherwise known as Coach and the Castaways. Hey, I figured out what happened to Coach. I don't know, my skills of deductive reasoning are slipping. I didn't figure this out earlier, but he must have hung up to go direct to the video to watch himself from the helicopter. I know I would. If I was caught in a helicopter doing Dragon Slayer moves, I'd have no shame in admitting that I'm going to watch it on TV over and over. Not too many times, but a few times, you know. It really is a cool clip. You know what I'll do for you guys? I'll clip it out of the, I'll clip it out and I'll send you the video clip, or I'll post it on the Facebook wall, or I'll figure some way out to get it out there, because it is a pretty cool clip, you know. And that's another question I wanted to ask Coach was, I suppose we could ask any survivor really, but who better to ask than Coach? Do they always have the chopper over every event, or is it just now and then? Or was it just a rarity that happened to, you know, catch that one, you know? Because you don't always see the aerial shots, you know, when they're doing a challenge. Sometimes it's just all on the ground. So, you know, it's just a question, a simple question.
Hello?
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 Oh, okay. I guess I shouldn't. I accidentally muted my phone. you would think that you would be aware of the sound of a chopper. I mean, I certainly would be, unless, okay, like you said, if they're up there all the time, maybe it's just...
Yeah, you get used to it.
Yeah, they get used to it or something.
I know I got used to it last week here. We had a 2-million-gallon water tank on the top of the hill behind my house that broke at the base and was at risk of wiping out like 1,000 people. They evacuated 1,000 people, you know, buses and ambulances. It was crazy. And it turned out that the water tank had fractured on the floor of the tank and was just, you know, just water gushing out the back. The explosion was so loud it shook the hotel next door. But all day and all night, like 4 or 5 news choppers making the circuit around the tank, and they're going directly over my house on each circuit. And all night, my house is just shaking. I'm just like, this is great. But you know what? After about 8 or 9 o'clock, I just didn't even hear it anymore. I knew they were there, and I went outside at like 11:30, and there they still were, all circling around, waiting for the destruction, which never happened. The fire department drained the tank, and everybody survived. So it was a great ending to a potentially hazardous situation. But lots of cool helicopter activity. I love helicopters, so I'm always into that, you know. Always into the random. Have you got, well, Paul, you must have been up in a chopper. Jerry, you ever been up in one?
Yeah, I have been.
I've been up in twice.
In the Army. Played.
You have been up?
Oh, yeah, UH-1s.
Oh, nice, nice. The Blackhawk, right?
No, the UH-1 was the main.
Well, The Huey.
The Huey was the one they used the most in.
Right, yeah, the Huey, yeah, my bad. Yeah, that's awesome. I've never been up in a Huey. I've just been up in the Bells and stuff. Cherry, when did you go up?
I've gotten to go up in 2 helicopters.
Nice.
One was at an air show, and one was when I was going to tell my age. I was the sales manager of a beeper company, a beeper company, and during the VP fair here in St. Louis, which is the 4th of July fair that we have down on the river, we were helping report the traffic for the VP fair. And I got to go up in the helicopter, and it was so much fun. We did it all weekend. And,
that's awesome. Wow.
And some of us drove our cars on the highway and just reported from the ground, and then some of us went up in the helicopter and got to take the helicopter ride. And we all took turns and sort of took, you know, routes. And
awesome.
It was awesome. We had a blast the entire week, and we stayed in a hotel downtown, and just it was one big party.
Yeah, you'll never forget those days. Well, I mean, you forget some of it.
Yeah, it was one of those times, the late
night stuff.
Yeah. And both of them were the kind of helicopters that didn't have doors on them, you know, and I was like, you know.
Oh,
that was the most fun for me is when the pilot did a strong bank and you're looking out that open door at the ground.
That's awesome. Jeez, none of the pilots that I ever flew with did any of that stuff. It was all straight-laced, you know, bring in, drop off, pick up. So, although my first helicopter flight was really cool, it was actually when I was on vacation with a girlfriend back in 1985, and we took a chopper out of San Francisco, flew over the bay, and flew over Alcatraz, the Golden Gate Bridge. It was pretty cool. That was my first helicopter flight. I had flown before, you know, these small aircraft, you know, like Piper Cubs and that kind of stuff. But that was my first helicopter flight, and it was really cool, you know. The girl, I was like, get a little scared and stuff. And she's flown, you know, over the oceans and stuff. So I'm like, what are you scared of, you know? It's a chopper. If it shuts off, we'll just rotogyro in. Everything will be fine, you know. San Francisco Bay, how bad could it be? We can swim, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
If the impact didn't kill you.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool thing about the choppers. Most of them gyro. You ever see it when a chopper engine fails and they just blade continue to spin, but the chopper doesn't plummet.
Auto rotate.
Yeah, that's it. Yep. You know, it doesn't plummet. It actually kind of glides to a hard landing. Well, sometimes. You know, a few times, I guess. But luckily, that's never happened to us, right?
Exactly.
Or did it? Yeah, I should ask Paul. I mean, it may have happened to Paul. You never know.
Oh.
How many times did you go up in a chopper, you think, Paul?
I think it was only twice.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't that often. I was stateside the whole time. I was fortunate.
Yeah, I know, but I figured you'd be kind of an enthusiast, you know?
You get invited. You don't, I mean, I, you know.
Right.
And we were just part of a training exercise type of thing when they needed, you know, bodies, like, you know, to practice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's still the coolest.
I also did another clip that was going to maybe play when Coach was up to find out how he felt about this, but I know a few of us that were here on Thursday talked about it, but what did people think of this clip from this season? Oops.
Anybody do House of Cards for fun?
I do.
You do, Sophie?
I have a book about how to make them.
Sophie is building a structure that looks indestructible.
I don't have any pieces left.
Sophie getting closer. Sophie now in the lead. And with that, Sophie loses half of her stack.
Hey, Albert, drop your stack and come pick up my pieces.
I'm in a pretty decent spot right now. Hold on.
Drop your damn stack and pick up my pieces. I'm going to beat you. Albert, just drop your stack.
Let me make it easy for you. There is no helping in this challenge. If you want Ozzy out of this game, beat him.
I was kind of surprised. I was surprised they wouldn't let him help her.
I was kind of glad that they didn't, but it was just, you know, we've seen this in Big Brother as well, that people, you know, lose it emotionally at times, but that... you know, but Coach kind of touched on that was not unusual. I mean, he didn't, specifically talk about that challenge, but sounded to me, Cherry, from what I heard him talk about Sophie, that she wasn't the most pleasant. I was in and out of the screening room, so I'm not sure if I heard everything or not. Did I get the right gist that Coach wasn't that fond of her personality at times?
Well, he said that, you know, she didn't do that much around around the camp, obviously. She didn't apparently partake in a lot of the camp responsibilities. He said that she sat down by the ocean and didn't get water, didn't get firewood, that kind of thing. So I guess we can ask him when we talk to him again. I'm concerned that it looks like they're only showing that we have 16 minutes left on the show, so we might.
What are you showing here?
I'm showing right now 44, 43, 59. But if they're only showing that, Jeff is showing 44 minutes here.
I wonder if.
If they refresh.
Refresh, but, you know, I hate to have
Jeff came in late, so I'm just concerned. I don't want us to plan on having a longer show and get cut off is my concern.
Yeah, and Jerry and I talked about it. We thought we totally anticipated Coach being on for a long time, and he certainly would have had we not lost his phone connection, but past 2 years, I went back and listened to shows about this time of the year, and Ron did, you know, some Christmas shows. And so I had grabbed a couple of clips at the end of some of his Christmas shows. But they're relatively long. And let's see. The time always does this. Let me refresh. We're getting a mixture. You see that in the chat room, Cherry? Some say what we're seeing.
Right. I think we're good. So
here's,
I would like to have some of our callers, our people in the chat room, call in to talk about what they're doing for Christmas and have the opportunity to wish our people in this current year a Merry Christmas.
Okay, that
I know that they also would like to maybe talk about what their memories were of Ron and just call in and talk to us, say Merry Christmas, and give us a shout. Give us a call and let us know what you're doing for Christmas and what you have planned for the holiday.
It looks like the refreshing did the trick. Several people that did that, the time is correct, so it looks like we do have time. But, yeah, you can give shout-outs or shout at us. I don't care.
We won't bite too hard.
Somebody got to do it. You know, now that Ron's not around to shout at us, so you know, you should do that, Paul. You should find some clips of Ron shouting at us because he shouted at me. He shouted at you. I don't know if he ever shouted at Cherry, but you know, there may be an obscure clip somewhere out there. You know, and get those little clips together and then have Ron just butt in every now and then shout or scream at us. I think that'd be kind of funny. You know, I mean, you might miss that a little bit. You know,
well, the best,
I'm sure you don't miss the AIDS jokes or anything.
I was listening. I listened to so many archive shows recently. I can't remember exactly which one this was, but Ron did and I don't know if either of you two were listening on that show. He did a match game. Oh, Cherry, you participated in that. It was you and Liz, and you did a match game, and it was Vicky against Tom, and his very first thing was, and hopefully people know what the match game is about, but Paul from Minnesota is so old, the other day he went into the store and bought a blank for a quarter. Remember that show, Cherry?
Yes. I remember that, yeah.
I do.
Oh, my God. That was like a Tuesday night show or something, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yep. I remember that. So we used to do that. We used to have some goofy Tuesday night game shows and stuff.
Okay, I'm going to answer this caller because I know who this is.
Should we play her theme music?
Hey, if you got it,
if you want to, go ahead.
Oh, sure. Now my switchboard froze up. Not going to work.
Okay, well, welcome, Dina, to the Rad Reality Show. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, babe. How are you?
I'm doing well. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
And Christmas.
You as well.
Guess what? It's 67 degrees here tonight.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Where are you?
North Carolina.
Oh, that's awesome. It was 59 here today, I think. You know, so day before, 2 days before Christmas in New Hampshire. Yeah, but they say snow tomorrow should cancel it all out. So.
Yeah, we've got rain, and I'll take the rain. But I just wanted to call in and wish everyone a very safe and a very, very, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. It's been a blast getting to know each and every one of y'all throughout the season. And Paul and Cherry, you have really stepped up and made this show what it is right now, and Ron would be so happy. And Ben, I hope, and it's good to know that you're feeling back to yourself again. And Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm just in a good mood this year.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you're feeling better.
I was just going to say, yeah.
And I'm so glad that you're in a good spirit, a holiday spirit, and it's so sweet of you to call in. And I just love that you're with us and part of the Rad Reality family. You have the best heart, the sweetest heart, and I just love you to death.
Oh, thank you. Likewise, likewise. I do want everyone to know that I have not bought the first Christmas gift yet, period.
I'm starting tomorrow. Yeah, I'm gonna start tomorrow after work, actually. So.
You know, and everybody says, I cannot believe you're doing this. But let me tell you something, folks. I have been volunteering for the last 4 days now, full strength and helping the needy around here in the Raleigh and Durham area. And the love that has been poured out to many families and little children that just did not think that they're getting a Santa Claus this year, and the candy, they're so happy just to receive candy and fruit and, you know, little board games, not to say what they're getting ready to have on Christmas Day. So if everybody that's listening that's out there that that did give and couldn't give this year, it's okay. There's a lot of people that did step up, and I'm overwhelmed at this time in such need that America is just not one city, one town, one state. It's across the board, and it's very well known and loved that people actually give these days. So that's what I'm saying this year.
Dana, you set the best example for all the rest of us. You are such a dear heart and so giving, and I hope that I can be the woman that you are one day. I just love you to death. You are so sweet, and you have such a kind soul, and I can't say enough kind things about you because you remind me a lot of Ron in the way that you give of yourself, and that's what Ron did. He was very giving, and he loved and wanted to give to everyone, and that's what this time of year is all about. And I can just see you out there from morning till night helping everyone else, and you haven't even started with your own shopping or your own family yet, and that's just the kind of person you are, and I just love you for it.
I love you too, but don't think of me so much of an angel, because they're going to have to totally get me freaking drunk off my ass to go buy for my family. let it be known right now, I don't want to shop for the very first one of them. I will give to the person that doesn't have anything before I give to these mofos. Or do you hear me?
That's awesome.
And I plan on having a designated driver, and here I come tomorrow. So
right.
That's what it's a bottle of wine tomorrow morning, pop open, and we'll go take care of all of this stuff and be done with it. And I just hope that everybody that's listening out there and in the chat room, you guys are all so special when it comes to need. And I want everybody, please, please, please remember a good friend to the chat room, Dan, who's been in the hospital, and I don't know his current status, but I'm just hoping all my hopes and all my prayers is going from North Carolina out to California, if that's where he still is at. And I just want everybody just to stop for just one moment tonight and think about another true chat room friend and listener that loves these shows and listens to and loves what you guys do. So, and he needs our love right now, so can we just give a moment to him and let him know that our love and prayers are going out to his room tonight?
Yeah. Dina, thank you so much for that. Dan is so dear to my heart, and I can't thank you enough for that. All of our love and our prayers and our thoughts are going out to Dan.
True.
And he's been in the VA hospital in San Diego since November 10th.
Oh, man.
And I can't imagine spending that much time, spending Thanksgiving and Christmas in the hospital.
No.
And it's rough. And I wish him all the best. I want him to heal quickly and get out of there and to make it to Disneyland in a big hurry and get home and get back to normal, get back to his normal daily life and join us here in the Rad Reality Show and get back to normalcy, because we miss him so dearly. And I know that it has to be so hard for him being in that hospital. And so thank you so much, Dina, for bringing Dan up and saying a prayer for him. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
And I want you to know that you and your family and little Owen, too, is in our thoughts and prayers, and I hope you guys have the best Christmas ever.
You know we will. Eventually, we will. Eventually, we will.
And you have a big drink of wine for me, too, okay, girl?
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Merry, Merry Christmas, and Merry, Merry Christmas to Lola out there, because I know that she's so shy, and Jody and Jen Frog and all my friends out there. I love y'all crazy mad, and Merry Christmas. And
tell them they should call in.
Yes, yeah. And we got to have I love it. I'm not called Chi-Town Joe. I call him Chilltown now. I just love it when we do
Chill's
that.
Out there? Chill's out there? He's not calling in?
Chilltown should call in.
Yeah,
I agree. I concur. And hi, Lola. Lola, hi, Lola and Jen and whoever else you did say.
Seymour's out there. And
hey,
Jeff Steed is out there. Jody, Kid Shacky.
Hi.
All right.
Lola, Michael Doyle.
Lola.
We've got Puff Puff.
Nice.
We've got Mary Tenney's out there. We've got some wonderful chatters out here in our chat room tonight. And
awesome. I'm
all part of the Rad Reality family that Ron built. And Face Ones, we've got wonderful people out here.
And hi, Jessica. I know my friend Jessica is listening, but I think she's probably as a guest because she's too scared to call in or register or anything. I told her, I was like, they're not going to, make you call in. And so if you're still listening, you should.
Hi.
So, Dina,
hi, Jess. And Jess, if you're one of those guests, hello.
Yes. Is Jess from Massachusetts out there? BB Jess?
Jess BB Love is not with us in the chat room right now, but she should be.
Oh, well, hi anyways. So.
Well, let's bring up Michael and Dina, you're welcome to stay on the line with us.
That's okay. I'll let this line be open. Merry Christmas, and I will talk to you all on the next show, hopefully, okay?
All right. Thank you, baby. You have a Merry Christmas, hon.
You too. Love you, y'all.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys.
Michael from Manitoba. Thanks for calling back. You're on the Rad Reality Show.
I am, eh? Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah, I catching myself say that, too. I know. That's actually something that we do say in the U.S. You guys say, huh?
Yep.
Is that right? I think you guys say, huh?
That's right.
So, yeah, like, I really connect with Survivor and the meaning of family just because of what Survivor pretty much means for me. Like, I was in the hospital about probably 7 or 8 years ago, basically when Survivor really started, you know, in the beginning kind of thing. And basically it's really helped me focus outside of my health kind of thing, you know, the show and stuff. And then I just started, like, recently, the past couple of years, just connected on Facebook, and the devotion that the Survivors showed to their fans is just unbelievable, you know? And
oh, yeah.
It's just how they connect with the fans. Like Tracy, you know, Tracy Hughes-Wolf, she's really, really
absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
she's wonderful.
And yeah, and her daughter actually is doing a show, I think it was yesterday.
Oh, was it? Yeah, like, I saw that she was doing. I saw her daughter Ann Tracy down in Virginia at the event they had back in October, and the girl is incredible on guitar and the vocals. So if she doesn't get signed,
yeah,
I'd be amazed.
Yeah, and she has like some agent or something that's done really big superstars or something too. So there, I think she's going to go far. And I was. Actually pretty interested in how Jeff has actually progressed into that virtual living room thing, you know, like the past couple seasons, three seasons. Has it been two or three seasons?
What's that, the where he's tweeting or something?
Yeah, he's doing the Twitter stuff. Like,
oh, yeah,
I think
you,
it was,
you follow that? Do you see how he's doing some kind of a weird video clip thing? Like,
yeah, those,
like
those are called, those are... Yeah, those are called touts.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, and then I did a tout to him, and then I was asking him about like, the food auctions, like, do the Survivors keep the money for that? And he actually responded to me for that.
Cool.
And so I got a buff. I got one of those buffs, and he signed it for me, too.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. And what
I
really
love that.
Needed,
when
it,
Jeff
what,
Probst
what's
tweets
really,
and touts for Survivor, that's, like, the best. That's the best way to watch Survivor, is watching Survivor with Jeff tweeting and touting along with you while you're watching Survivor. I think it adds another layer to the show.
Oh, it does. And I think that's basically why he signed up for the next couple of years, was because he's having such a blast connecting with the fans again, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too. I really enjoy watching, you know, there was a time when I used to sort of record it and watch it with my husband. My husband works a late shift, and I used to watch it with my husband when he got home later in the evening.
Right.
But when Jeff started tweeting and touting along with the show, I had to start watching it as the show aired again, because that's the perfect way to watch it. I mean, you get Jeff's insights, and then when he touts, you get his quirky little things that he does on tout along with his tweets, and it's awesome. It's like having Jeff Probst watching the show with you.
Yep.
And it really adds
it,
another layer to the show Survivor. And
yeah. And what's really interesting, though, is I'm not watching commercials anymore. I'm jumping over to my computer now.
Exactly.
And watching his 15-second tout.
Exactly.
What
that's what he's doing commercials. Yeah.
Wow. And I think
just
that's what he designed it
idea.
For. And
just gave me a great idea. I got a new big screen TV for myself for Christmas, and I still have my old TV, which is a big 36-inch glass tube TV, weighs like 800 pounds. I'm thinking, how am I going to get rid of it? What am I going to do with this? It still works. Works fine. I just needed a high def TV for, you know, new movies and Blu-ray player and all the stuff I got. But I still have both TVs in my living room, and
I'm thinking now, when Survivor comes on, I'm going to watch Survivor on the big screen, and I'm going to put the tout and the Twitter up on the other screen.
Like she said, it adds a total new dynamic to watching Survivor, because he actually throws in stuff about, like, the challenges, like
what
the crew does. You know,
he does. It gives you a lot of information that you don't get watching the show.
True.
And it's live. It's like, you know, that's the extra added bonus to it, too.
That is cool. And look at you. You got a buff out of the whole deal. I mean,
I know. I actually even have it on the YouTube as well, and I posted it up, and I showed my buff.
That
sounds kind of
silly,
doesn't it?
You're showing your buff again.
Yeah, I'm showing my buff. Yeah. I'm like Jeff, man. You got to change the name of these. You got to change the name of these because everyone's, you know, showing their buff.
Yeah, I'd show my buff all over town if I had one. So.
Yeah, at home.
One of the questions that I wanted to ask Coach before he dropped off and never made it back was, I wanted so bad to ask him, since he didn't use the idol that he kept all through the show, if they let him keep that. I want to know.
Good question.
If they allowed him to keep that,
I think that would go
$20.
I think that would go to the charity.
Yeah, I think because in past seasons they used to get away with stuff like that. Well, actually, quite a few seasons ago. But I know in recent seasons they've been making them burn their buffs, and they can't take their clothing back with them anymore. And obviously any artifacts from the show have to stay with the show. So I'd be real surprised if he got out with that in his pocket. It'd be cool if he did, though.
I know.
He might wear it downtown or something.
If that's a breach of contract, then I guess I'd have to give the idol.
Yeah, because then people would see that he actually has an idol, and people would be, like, speculating about it or something.
Yeah, but then again, with all that time on the island, I'd just fashion a fake one that looks as real as the real one.
That's what Papa Bear tried to do.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I met Papa Bear, too, down in Virginia. He was funny. He couldn't hang, though. I saw him actually in the elevator. We were heading out to party about 10:30 at night, and he's like, I'm going to bed.
He was jumping all over the place on the stage there. I noticed that. He's a really nice guy.
He really is. He's a great guy. He's a little excitable, I think, but he's really funny. You know, we talked with him a couple of times over the weekend, and he's a funny guy. I'd like to get him for the show. You know, one of us should work on that because he was a funny guy. He had a lot of opinions, too.
I'm going to move along and bring up Chi-Town Joe, or also known as Chiltown Joe.
All right. Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Nice talking to
you, Michael. Thank you for calling in, Michael.
Okay, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas to you.
Okay.
Joe, you're live on the Red Reality Show.
Hi, how you all doing tonight?
Great, and you?
Pretty good. I got invited to a party in New England for New Year's Eve.
Oh, did you get my invite?
they said I could crash there if I flew in. I don't know about that. I don't think I could get my way back out, you know?
Yeah, and besides, there'll be no sleeping at my party. So.
Yeah, you know me. I tend to go to bed, early.
Yeah, we're going to go to bed early. It's going to be probably about 7:30 or 8 a.m., so...
Yeah, I'm a little early. Hi, Lola, how you doing? Yeah, it's a shame that that we lost the coach. I was very interested because, you know, my mom wanted to know what he had to say tonight, so...
Yeah.
But anyways, and Dina, thank you for... mentioning me and asking me to come on. I'm very happy, and I have to say congratulations to Jen Frog for winning the big gift, the big prize.
She won.
Vegas Bash.
She won Vegas Bash tickets?
Mm-hmm. Right,
no kidding.
Jen? Yeah. That was
yesterday.
I was
watching. That's cool.
A lot of people won. So it was cool, but... all I'm doing this Christmas is I'll be on the Taz Radio.
Did you start that yet?
I'm not going to start it now. I'm going to wait until Saturday at about 6 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, okay.
What is it? 3? It's 3 o'clock Pacific or BB time, right?
Right, yep.
So I'll be doing that.
Cool.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, so.
We have somebody that wants to say hi to you, so I'm going to bring this other person
up.
Oh,
goodness.
Jody, you're live on the Rad Reality Show.
Well, hello, and thank you.
Hi, Jody.
Hey, Joe. I've been wanting to say hello to you and just let you know I always enjoy when you call into the show, and
it's
great to talk to you.
I just love everybody here, so.
Oh, me too.
And
me
I love you,
and
too.
And Dina
so.
Was such a doll on the phone, and such a family.
I'm a quiet guy and a guy. I think Sherry can, you know, attest to that. Until I have a couple of cocktails at a chopper or a bar or whatever.
I'm anxious to listen to your radio show on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, well, where are you at now? What area?
I'm in Tennessee.
Okay, so you're still on the East Coast then, right?
No, I'm in Central.
No?
I'm Central.
Oh, you're in my time zone because I'm from Chicago. So
right, I'm still
okay.
Central.
Well, then that's 5 o'clock.
Right, five o'clock.
Yeah, and it probably will run until, oh gosh, I'm going to be honest with you, until about 10:30.
Oh
wow, you got a lot to talk about.
I have 90 songs. And,
oh, my goodness.
Like DJing. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and I'm also going to be talking. There'll be a chat room there. And,
cool.
And I'll talking to people. I don't want to talk too much, though, you know, Jody?
All right, so
because
it's not going to be like this.
I know Cowboy's going to listen, and Alan Golden, he was on TV tonight. He just
really?
Went ahead and I don't know what it was about, but... Alan and the kids. It's a family friendly kind of thing. And
that's
I put in a lot of good old country musicians singing some really good country Christmas songs. Otherwise, because I never knew New England loved country music as much as I did until I went there.
It's very big here, I'll tell you that.
Well, I would think in Tennessee, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So you won't be hearing too many of the younger guys, you know. But,
coming from Chicago, I never heard country music.
Yeah. Well, we have one or two bars by my house, and you don't want to go in them because they tend to, you know, have fights and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't go in them, but I don't go into too many bars, period, anymore. But and especially after last party we had down there in Portsmouth, which was a great time. I feel so sorry. I want to bring this up. Jen DeTuro left this morning to get back to Cincinnati. She's been stuck in Las Vegas for 5 hours now.
Oh, no.
Yes. And
because of the weather?
Yeah. And they're waiting. They're waiting on the last plane that has 16 people coming from L.A. that's going to her town. But she said that the slots helped her pass the time. And she did get, I guess, a special what did they give you? A free ticket. Because it's been so long.
Oh, they gave her a free airline ticket.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. She'll definitely use that.
Yeah, she's so much
fun. She gave
so much of herself out there with the kids, and Cherry can tell you about that. I mean,
yeah.
God Lord, you know. Michelle's having a good time with her girlfriends tonight. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm glad. I asked if I could come over and have a drink. She said yes, but I'm not going to the East Coast, I don't think. Not that I'm doing this show Saturday live from my house, and you may be able to see me in a Santa outfit and some colorful stuff behind me.
Huh? You have video on the site and stuff?
Yeah, they're Skype.
Oh, oh great.
Cool. Yeah, they're Skype also, and I have a big Metallica Rolling Stone cover from years ago that I had the whole band autograph. Then I'm going to put that next to Tony Bennett's poster that's autographed. And maybe, what do you think, Kiss in Between from 1978?
There you go. That's where he lost City, baby.
Yeah, but Jody, wow. It's always good to hear your voice, and I think we're going to have a really good time on Saturday. And again, there'll be no swearing or anything, so people can listen with their kids.
That's great. Yeah, we'll enjoy it here. I think my mom hopefully will be here, and my husband, and it's just going to be the three of us. So
well, that's what I was expecting. I really kind of went after the show like that, with thinking of maybe, you know, someone with their parents might be over, or a couple of friends, or
right.
And maybe have a kid or two running around. I don't want to do anything that would upset anybody.
Right.
So,
right.
But, you know, it has to be that way. And and I loved all the music. So I think the hardest heavy metal song you'll hear is Twisted Sister and the Ramones.
Okay.
And I know Ben knows those bands.
Oh, right. Yeah. I've seen those bands.
Yeah, me too.
Now, I actually got to see the Ramones way back in, 1982. I think it was 1982. They came to Vermont to a friend of mine in college, and he calls me. He's like, "Hey, you got to come up to the Ramones?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" You know, back then the Ramones were big, but they weren't, you know, with the icon they are today. But it was really cool because I'm like, "Who are these guys?" You know.
When I was growing,
like, wow.
When I was in the music business, I got to know the guys pretty close.
Joe, I hate to move this along, but we're going to have to.
I'm going to have to go. I'll save that story for another private night.
It was Saturday night. Oh, no, yeah, you probably don't want
to.
Oh, no.
No, I can't tell that story.
We need to wrap this up so we can move on to our Christmas show.
Okay, we'll do that. And, hey, thank you so much, Cherry and Paul, for all the work you've done all year. You too, Ben. I think without you, we wouldn't know what to do.
Thank you so much, sweetie. We love you, Chef
Paul,
Joe.
Dude, don't Paul.
And don't call me Chilltown. That's Mike's word for me.
Too late, man. Too late. It's worldwide. You're known all over the world as Chill now.
Yeah, but you know what? It's so weird because I'd be afraid to run into Dr. Will or Mike Boogie.
It's okay. You overrule them.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, right.
You've become the new Chilltown. They're not even remembered anymore.
Exactly. Well, I how could you forget them, you know?
Actually,
they're having the prettiest boy and woman from any reality series running on Reality Nation. So you can vote there now, you know, and you know how the Jeff and Jordan crew comes out. But I didn't vote for either one of them, so.
Oh, they won't get that one anyway.
I voted for
Catwoman. Somebody else.
The Catwoman. A lot of Survivor people are on there.
I bet.
Surprisingly. So, anyways, good night. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your mom, Joe.
I will tell
you both have a wonderful Christmas.
And thanks for the card.
Oh, well,
so
you're
nice.
Welcome.
It's
thank
so
you
cute.
So much.
All the stamps on it.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, cast
you
your vote,
Merry
right,
Christmas.
Jeff? He's just writing to me now. So, cast your vote. I voted for the cat lady, so that should give you a clue. Talk to you later. Bye-bye now. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Ho-ho-ho.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
I'm going to see who this last caller is. Area code 919, you're on the Rad Reality Show. Hello?
Probably Dina. I think she's just listening. There was no...
she was listening, yeah.
Okay.
I think she put it on speakerphone or something.
Okay, well... I think we can go ahead and move on to some of the Christmas clips before we run out of time.
I mentioned one more.
We're only going to have. Go ahead.
Before we go, my grandmother passed earlier this week, and I just wanted to say, over the airwaves that I hope that she rests in peace and that everything is fine in heaven or wherever she is. And I also want to say congratulations to my other grandmother who turned 101 today. So.
Wow.
A little bit of bad, a little bit of good. Not really so bad. The grandmother that passed was in a nursing home for the last 7 years, and it wasn't a great thing, where she was. So.
My condolences.
She's in a better.
I know that's very tough. Even though we know that it's still difficult to lose a loved one when they're no longer with us. It's hard.
It is. It's. I actually lived with my grandparents for a number of years, and so she was like a second mom to me. So, but I mean, it wasn't a huge. It wasn't like a shocker. Like if my grandmother turned 101 died today, I'd be devastated because she still walks, she still talks, she's active, and it's just amazing to see somebody over 100. looking not much more than 70, really. So a little bit of good and a little bit of bad with the holiday. I guess that's the way it always goes. But anyways, I just wanted to, give a shout out to my grandmother in case she's listening, because I did tell her about the show. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling in, and we are going to try to get some of these in from past Christmas season so that.
I don't
we
know.
We can hear a little bit of Ron.
We only have time for one of them, Terry.
Can we play part of season 10? Because I'd really like to hear some of that one.
Well, just so you people know, it will run into podcasts. But do the 9 followed by the 10 or whatever, because the 9 is going to talk about Michelle Costa. So.
Well, what I was saying is I'd like to do part of season 10 and then stop it and then do the 2009.
Do it. Do whatever.
Okay.
Time has run out, so.
Okay.
So. Let me get serious for a second. Christmas to me is more than just, presents and stuff too. And that's the key of what Christmas is all about. It's the ultimate present. The ultimate presence was that we were given a child. His name was Jesus Christ. And when you guys think about Christmas, I want you guys to really think about. That that's what Christmas means to me, guys, and I wanted to close off the show with a song to get us in the mood for the actual meaning of Christmas, and just remember there was a song that I wanted to try to get, and I couldn't have time because of the whole internet issue. It talks about how we forget that it's all about Christ, and some people get upset that you separate with X. X, first of all, means Christ in the Greek Bible. I took 2 years of Greek, and that was one thing you guys probably didn't know about me is I have 2 years of Greek, and I can translate the Greek Bible. And I probably can't do it now because it's been so long ago, but that's one thing I remember. And we got to remember it's about Christ, and we must have Christ. And in Christmas, and it's all about Christ. But
okay, I'm going to stop that right there. I'm going to go ahead and play 2009, and I will play that clip in its entirety. It will go on the podcast if you guys want to go and listen to it. He gives shout-outs to a lot of you people that are sitting in the chat room tonight. I'm sorry we've let this go over in the podcast, but I hope you guys will go back and listen to it, because he does remember many of you who are sitting in the chat room tonight, and I would like for you all to hear it. Merry Christmas to you all. I miss Ron so much, as I know many of you do. This is Ron from 2009.
And Paul, you've been a good addition to calling in every show, and we thank you for that.
You're very welcome, Ron. I enjoy it.
I want to close off the show, and I'm going to finish off with a little Christmas. I'm going to play it for Paul, actually. So thank you, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Festa. What else is there? Hanukkah, Jewish. Yeah, okay. There's some other ones. So, y'all, thank you. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. Finish off the show with a little Christmas music. I'm going to play a song by one of my favorite singers in the world. Actually, if you guys knew my screen name from the old Big Brother days, his name is part of it. It's by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and it's one of his songs. It's called Christmas Is In Your Heart. I just wanted to finish off and say Merry Christmas to all of my listeners. Thank you for a great year, and I thank you guys. Merry Christmas, and thank you all for coming in.
In a one-bedroom apartment on the humble side of town stands a little Christmas tree. Looks a lot like Charlie Brown's, and underneath is one little gift for him, and one little gift for her. After 6 months on the new job, they're still barely getting by. So when the nothing there to catch your eye, both of them will be the first to say, we're together, we're gonna have a Merry Christmas anyway.
Thank you all for joining us. have a very safe Christmas. Be kind to one another. Love each other. And remember Ron. Love you. Good night. And here is the clip from season 10 that I promised from Ron.
So, let me get serious for a second. Christmas to me is more than just, presents and stuff too. And that's the key of what Christmas is all about, it's the ultimate present. The ultimate present was that we were given a child, and his name was Jesus Christ. And when you guys think about Christmas, I want you guys to really think about that. That's what Christmas means to me, guys. And I wanted to close off the show with a song to get us in the mood for the actual meaning of Christmas. And just remember, there was a song that I wanted to try to get. I couldn't have time because of the whole internet issue. It talks about how we forget that it's all about Christ. And some people get upset that you separate with X. X, first of all, means Christ in the Greek Bible. I took 2 years of Greek, and that was one thing you guys probably didn't know about me is I have 2 years of Greek. And I can translate the Greek Bible. I probably can't do it now because it's been so long ago. But that's one thing I remember. And we got to remember it's about Christ, and we must have Christ in Christmas. It's all about Christ. But it's all about Christ. And I want to finish off, like I said, with this song, and then we'll come back and we'll do a couple of things real quick. But it's called "We Are the Reason."
We were the reason that he suffered.
I want to give, and I know I'm going to miss somebody, but I'm just focusing on the people that are in the chat room, and I'm going to do a couple extra little things to people that I know. Alan, you know, you make me crack up at times, and we have our differences at times too. But you know what? You've been a friend, and you've been a supporter of my show ever since Michael came on the show and introduced me to you. I don't even know where to start with Big John. And Big John and me make fun of each other and everything, and I actually like it because it kind of makes me, it's kind of like I'm used to it, and when he doesn't make fun of me, I think he's mad at me because, you know, yeah, he's nice to me. I sort of wonder, you know, and everything. So, yeah, Big John, I have so much I wish I can tell you. Ben, you're up on the line still, but, hey, bud, you know, you've been a supporter all year, and you've been a supporter before the year. I don't know if Paul's still around. Paul is another one that is just, you know, been there for me.
True.
And Jerry, yeah, since you started coming, you've helped me out, and you keep me going in the show. And I thank you. I thank you guys. Lisa and Jen. Jen, I don't know where even to start with you. If it wasn't for you, you put lots of people in here, and you sold lots of calendars. And I thank you, and I hope we can, you know, do more stuff this next year to together and do the show a little bigger and better. And Lisa, you're great. You make me laugh on Facebook. And all your guests that come in and don't log into the chat room or don't have a chance, like Vicky, who has, I thank you. There's so many other people, Christine who left, and people that, you know, and everyone that left already. I thank you. It's that kind of stuff. Yeah, I said Vicky. Vicky knows how much I appreciate her. I mean, she got me Subway when I needed it the most. And just, I thank you. Mr. No Pants, you know the one. So thank you, guys. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. But thank you, guys. And again, everyone that listened to the end, sorry about the beginning. I might have to edit this. So thank you, guys. Merry Christmas. Love you. Say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas, Ron.